Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. We've got a lot of news that we're just not going to be able to finish or close this week. And so, and I'm not even through the week yet. So what we'll do is we'll try to carry some of this in into next week, because there are still plenty of other articles and things that have happened that I believe need to be identified and brought up as additional fulcrums. You know, sometimes if you can't lift an object from one side, sometimes you have to use, you know, levers to kind of lift it from multiple sides. And so maybe what we need to do is just provide you with enough different angles of leverage to lift you up, motivate you, get you to take a stand and get involved. Because as I see it, it didn't take that much a long, long time ago when I realized that the Constitution was being violated. That was pretty much all it took for me. But apparently there are way too many people that are either way too trusting or way too intoxicated. Yeah, there's just way too many people that have been intoxicated by the progressive soothsaying that they have, the federal government has all these powers, that they can do all anything that they feel necessary and proper. It's time to wake up, folks. It is time to really understand where those boundaries are and what those boundaries are, so that we can start identifying just how far the federal government has gotten outside the framework of the Constitution. I had and I'm engaging right now in social media with a person that completely that's in support. It's a conventionite person. It's a person that's completely in support of the Article 5 Convention. And they're stepping in to protect a state legislator who is supporting it and telling me I'm completely wrong, but they do not address any of my points. And they just go off on this platform that they're going to amend the Constitution to get the federal government into compliance, because they're going to provide amendments that will demand fiscal responsibility. Are you kidding me? We don't need to worry about fiscal responsibility. If the federal government only spent its money on the constitutional powers and roles and responsibilities that it possesses, then it would not be frivolously spending money on healthcare. It would not be frivolously spending money on welfare, on education, and all of these other things. These would be states' responsibilities. And then the states would then be the ones that, because if you look at the revenue and how much they spend, I mean, I don't even think they spend $1 trillion. I think it's still under $1 trillion on defense. And they're spending well over $4 trillion on what? On all the unconstitutional government that they have instituted. When I tell you 85% of the roles, responsibilities, and powers that they are exercising are unconstitutional, those aren't words that are just, you know, randomly picked out of the air. It is well over that probably by now, if you understand that they're continuing to grow. I saw another state legislature who posted this great news that the waters of the United States are going to be released from the Environmental Protection Agency, that, you know, they're undoing the Obama era usurpation. And then I pointed out, oh, that's a sleight of hand. You think so, but read the second paragraph in this article. The second paragraph just says that they're unleashing a part of what they're doing, but they're still stepping up. They're not taking back what they've already taken, or they're not giving it back. I mean, it's almost like a despot or a dictator like Hitler giving back Sweden because, oh, well, yeah, you know, we didn't mean to do that. No, they, when they assert their authority over something, and so in that second paragraph, if you read the article, it is very clear that they're planning on standing up regulations on how the waters of the United States are to be regulated. They're just not, you know, taking all of the rights away from the people. In other words, it's a more friendly, what's a good word for it? It's a more friendly form of oppression, if there's such a thing. Anyway, you are listening to the only show that gets into the academic evidence of what we need to do. I provide you plenty of evidence that should be motivating you. And we also focus on what the real solutions are. As I've been pointing out, everybody that's been talking about this is a problem, this is a, not one person is actually talking about what the real problem is. And the real problem is because as Congress wants to point their finger at a president that is actually, in when the president ever signs a bill that is funding unconstitutional government, he's violating the Constitution. And it's been done for, you know, how many presidents have we had that have been, that has been doing this? It goes well back, well before Teddy Roosevelt. And it actually goes back even before President Lincoln, because in 1849, when they started funding the Home Department, which is what we call the Department of Interior today, in funding that department that was founded in 1849, that was unconstitutional. And if you understand this whole point, that if you look in 1848, we pretty much landed the, you know, sea to sea United States. The contiguous 48 states were secured and they were territories destined to become states. So what had happened in 1848? The epiphany had to have occurred that the federal government recognized that there's no more land beyond the Pacific. It's it. We're done. And so this whole concept of needing to manage the territories was really going away. What should have been happening was they should have been planning a sunset for Congress and Congress's management of territories. But instead, the following year, they created the Home Department. They made permanency of managing land. And clearly, folks, we've gone through this several times. The Constitution, Article 1, Section 8, Subsection 17, identifies the only purposes for the federal government to own land. Now, yes, in Article 4 of the Constitution, it does allow them to administer and, you know, control and regulate territories. But what once those states become states, that land is fully the states. Having any federal reservations or federal controls over any land other than those things within the Constitution, in other words, magazines, forts, ports, facilities, you know, for necessary and needful buildings, there's nowhere in there where they have the repository of national resources. They don't have that power. They don't have the power of using environmental purposes. They don't have the power of using reservations for people or for vegetables, minerals, or any type of thing. It wasn't granted them in the Constitution. So to be clear, in 1848, when they recognized that they were going to lose their control, they also knew the importance of controlling land. The kings of England knew this. The kings of England recognized that the best way to keep the people poor is to not give them access to their land, to allow the king or the monarch, or in this case, the government, to hold back the land and to possess it so that those resources don't make these other entities nice and rich. Because I'm telling you, the Western states have an abundance of resources. All of the states do. But the Western states, because they hadn't formed in states yet, the federal government said, you know what, we think we can pull one over on these stupid states, and we're going to change the game and say, we're no longer going to allow you to come in the same footing with as the rest of the states, and we're going to create a greater burden upon you in taking away your resources. Are you kidding me? That there in itself, not only are they violating subsection 17 of taking control of lands they have no authority to do, they're also violating the entire spirit of the enumerated powers, the uniformity clause, because all states are to be treated equally. They're not, one state is not to have a greater burden than another. And these principles have been completely lost. And nobody's teaching this. And that's why you are listening to the only show that provides you these types of solutions. Now, this is why you want to plug in this listen line number, 605-562-4209. If you can't listen to this entire show during 3 to 4 West Coast time, 6 to 7 East Coast time, you need to dial up so that you can hear the truth, as I will use the term, spews forth from this microphone out to the airwaves and across the internet, so that you can actually learn the truths and the realities of just how bad it is. And so that's one of the reasons why we're going to get into all of the little things and tidbits that hopefully will motivate you. But one of the things I'm going to get into before I really get into some motivating news, or marketing is what I like to call it. Someone talked about Justin Trudeau and how the progressives will play this out. So we will be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Are you a patriotic proprietor of a business that is looking to get exposure on a fast-growing program? How would you like to get exposure on the only program on the air that provides an actual constitutional solution to all the federal government overreach and encroachments? If you understand the importance of educating the electorate, we would love to work with you in growing your business and revenues while you support the airing of our content on this station. Your support goes to growing the reach of this show and does not pay for elaborate salaries or highfalutin lifestyles. The show is growing fast, and we're also planning on airing the content about Republic Review on a video medium soon. If you'd like to be a part of history and the growth of the most relevant and result-oriented show on the air anywhere in the world, then just email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can lock in exceptional pricing and great advertising opportunities. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review, as well as my description of the Republic Review model, on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. Let me explain really quickly what I just did regarding the Department of Home and the Department of Interior. I gave you an alternate macro perspective of how the federal government has self-aggrandized itself. Now, they tell you that they needed to manage these territories, and this is all a supportive narrative in getting you to believe that they have these powers. And so that's why nobody has ever questioned the Department of Interior and every other department that has been created since. What are those departments that have been created since? Well, agriculture, I believe, was next, and then the Department of Justice. I might have those reversed. Then the Department of Commerce and Labor. If you understand the limitations of the Constitution, because we go through the ratification debates, it is very clear that the federal government's jurisdiction, roles, responsibility, and powers are limited to the enumerated powers within the Constitution. And therefore, this is why we read the Constitution. This is why we read the ratification debates. This is why it is paramount that if you do not read the fundamental founding documents and the legally binding documents to our Constitution, you will never understand how perverted our government has become. It's the same thing with Christianity and the Scriptures. If you read the Scriptures yourself, you will recognize how Christianity has become perverted and the perverted doctrines that are being injected today. That is how we have to understand for ourselves. If that's why I constantly read these things, I never want you to take my word for it. I know that if you read these things and you hear these things, these words of the framers, just like when you read the Scriptures, you should have this burning in your chest. You should have this fire lit up and telling you that these things are true, that what I am telling you is the truth. Sorry. I know that sometimes people want to shoot the messenger. Maybe that's that's why I go by GR. But bottom line, when this continues to grow, and as I've asked you this week to get more and more people, call people and say, hey, check out this show, because GR Mobley and Reclaiming the Republic actually is breaking open the documents that are instrumental and actually legally binding to our Constitution. You have to understand here, folks. The ratification debates aren't just words. These were the words that were used in convincing the states to buy into a contract. In contract law, those words are legally binding. If I tell you that if you buy this car and we're going to service this car for any problems you have, and I put that in writing, well, guess what? That's legally binding. You have a problem with the bumper. If it is that general of an assertion that you can do, you know, any type of maintenance, any type of service, anything you need for this car. Now, it doesn't even say if you wreck the car, whether we would serve that. So there's no clause in that. So you could easily come back and demand, if it was that general and that big of a promise, in saying, we will service this car so that it will run for you for the remainder of your life, and there are no disqualifications or no little fine print, you have a legal case in court of the court of jurisdiction over those issues to actually get the dealership and the manufacturer to service and fix that car, even if you broke it yourself. There were no disqualifications in what I just said. And if it was written down, then you don't even have to worry about having a secret tape recording of the conversation. It's right there in writing with no fine print. This dealership and the manufacturer will fix this car. Now, the manufacturer may try to get out of this, but guess what happens? That dealership is a fiduciary representative of that manufacturer. They actually have rights to sell and to speak for that manufacturer. And you probably would be able to get every penny necessary to keep that car running for life. This is why we start creating the fine print, and this is why people were very nefarious in trying to make sure that they weren't overextended. But I am telling you, my friends, when it came to the Constitution and what the framers were saying during the ratification debates was beautiful, because one, it was harmonious. Every single state, not one word was ever uttered by a Federalist who was selling the Constitution, said, you know what, if you pass this Constitution, the federal government, the Supreme Court, just in the Supreme Court's faction, in the judiciary branch, that they will be able to start legislating and executing and or enforcing the laws that they create. Had they said that, the Constitution would have been rejected completely, and that was never the spirit and or intent. And the men that were selling this Constitution literally believed and actually followed by and set the example that it was a limited government. It's a beautiful thing, my friends. And so that's why the ratification debates are not only just legally binding, they are the most illuminating regarding the Constitution. We don't need the Supreme Court to interpret it. All you've got to do is read the ratification debates, and it clearly tells you the limitations of the Supremacy Clause. It tells you the limitations of the Necessary and Proper Clause. It tells you the limitations of the Commerce Clause, as well as the General Welfare and or the General Defense and Welfare Clause, right? And we go through this all the time. That's why it is so important that I read these words and not just try to paraphrase. So we will get back into the ratification debates, because why? It's how often do you read the scriptures? You should be reading the script. Once you've finished reading the Bible, you should get back and read the Bible again. It's something that you should be constantly pondering and reading. And it's the same with our founding documents. Yeah, I know we're busy. But if we do not stay faithful and vigilant to reading and understanding in a spiritual context, in a political context, these things that are so important that affect our lives and affect our futures, I'm telling you, friends, these things will get perverted right underneath our feet. And that's how far we have scurried. That is why we're in this position, both spiritually and politically. Because too few people are recognizing how perverted Christianity has become, and too few people are recognizing how perverted our federal government has become. The federal government, not the Constitution, the federal government. It's just like the scriptures. Not that the scriptures haven't been perverted. Well, there have been plenty of people that have rewritten them, but that's why I believe that going back to the oldest versions of King James and so forth, because bottom line, there's way too many interpretations that literally change the vernacular, the dialogue, and actually changes the meaning. And it's the same thing. The beautiful thing about the ratification debates is we don't even have to have a discussion of what we read, because it was in our same language and it's available to us, unlike the New Testament and the Bible and so forth. And so, I mean, that in itself just goes right down a tangent of all sorts of arguments and positions, academic and what have you. But anyway, I was actually talking about Justin Trudeau when we were going into the break. And it seems like Justin Trudeau has a tough row to hoe. And everybody understands that globally, there's this facade that conservatives are winning and that the progressives are losing. Justin Trudeau has been outed in three, and everybody knows this, but I don't talk about this, but this has been in the news for a while. This goes back a couple of weeks at least, that he's been outed in three separate occasions where he has been shown in pictures at three separate occasions where he has blackened his face, hands, and so forth. And so we understand that, you know, that is wrong now and that is evil. And, you know, the question is, how is it that the progressives are going to spin this to protect him and keep him in that position as the Prime Minister of Canada? How is this going to happen? Because I'm telling you, most of the progressives, they'll have to recoil. It's almost like the Al Franken thing. They're just going to have to say, you know what? We got to let this guy go, because we have to be able to go after these real rednecks that have done this as well, or what have you. And I'm going, okay, well, we'll see what more hypocrisy comes forward. But I'm just saying that this is kind of good news that the champion of progressivism and world globalist communism, Justin Trudeau, is now facing a tough road to hoe. You got to be careful. You know, the roosters sometimes do come home to roost. Real quick, if you haven't bought your Red State Coffee, please buy some, try some, call us, 425-270-5416. Let us know what you think, and we would like to actually create promos with your review, with what you think this coffee is. As you understand, this is a sponsor for this show who actually is sharing the proceeds with us in helping us fund the things that we need to do. So we just ask that you go to reclaimingtherepublic.org, click on the link to Red State Coffee, and you will be able to taste that, and we will be able to make advertisements and or your endorsements or not on whether Red State Coffee should be in your cup while you're listening to Red State Talk Radio. Anyway, when we come back, we will be going into some of the news, and we're going to be getting into what I wanted to talk about yesterday, and Soros's money into district attorneys in not enforcing the law and violating their oath of office. So we'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Okay, now, if you do not get G. Edward Griffin's Need to Know News, you need to. Most of the stuff that I provide you actually comes from his Need to Know News. And the reason why I use this is because what he reports is not what is getting across the mainstream media. Now, this actual story that I'm going to talk about right now actually was talked about by, Tucker Carlson. And I like Tucker Carlson because he actually is willing to go in places. I've yet to hear him talk about Agenda 21. I've yet to hear him really talk about live organ harvesting and all of the evils that are going on in China, or some of the evils that are going on here, such as they've talked a little bit about sex trafficking, but they have not really and honestly talked about sex trafficking here in the United States and all the fingers and all the things that are involved in it. And I'm telling you, the only reason that there's such a large problem in America with sex slave trade and everything else, it is a part of the political distraction and agenda. It's just like pornography. It's just like carnalism. You know,
school shootings and so forth. The only reason America is in this position today and the world is in this position is because we have turned our backs on enlightenment. If you've listened to the show, I constantly tell you that when we started chasing the pursuit of self-gratification, the pursuit of what makes us feel better, and gone down that path, we have moved away from enlightenment, because enlightenment is the development and the establishing of discipline in allowing ourselves to obtain higher and higher levels of awareness, science, all of these different things. And we've actually walked away from that. We walked away from that years ago. And that was all a part of the Dewey's implementation in the education system, rooting out Christianity, taking prayer out of the schools and so forth. That's all been a part of the plan. And, oh, I know this reeks like the conspiracy theorists, but there is way too much evidence to prove this otherwise. And as a matter of fact, anybody that has listened to, and we've had Alex Newman on this show, and I'm telling you, if you listen and you talk to Alex Newman and the history of education, we are exactly where we have been designed to be. This is all about social engineering. Even Thomas Sowell talks about this stuff. I highly recommend you read his book, Intellectuals and Society. But anyway, this particular story is about Kim Gardner and all of the attorneys or district attorneys that are throughout the United States. So Kim Gardner is a radical leftist funded by George Soros and is a circuit attorney for the St. Louis and prosecutors for state-level criminal cases and is wreaking havoc on the justice system, which has caused many attorneys to resign from the agency. She has made a list of 50 police officers whose work she rejects, refusing to press charges against criminals they arrest because she claims they are racists. She recently threw out cases in which a suspect, Malik Ross, a confessed accidentally shooting and killing a 7-year-old Xavier Usanga. Anyway, long story short, if you understand what the heck is going on, over the past few years, George Soros has spent well over $13 million on district attorney races in local governments across 17 states. Without passing a single law, a DA prosecutor can make a city's justice system corrupt. Larry Krasner, the district attorney of Philadelphia and left-wing activist, is using his position to undermine the existing legal system because he claims to believe it is racist. He has refused to enforce drug and prostitution laws because those are racist. Are you kidding me? Even petty theft has become decriminalized, and he has deferred prosecuting cases involving gun crime cases. Crime is skyrocketing, and the homicide rate has risen 12% in Philadelphia. I'm telling you, folks, we are at a race to the bottom. If you look at what's going on in San Francisco, Seattle, and the rest of these progressive states, it's almost like they have forgotten the lessons that they have even learned from Detroit and other cities of blight, and saying, we are going to actually protect people from criminal cases and let the criminals stay loose because they don't care about protecting. You got to understand, the two primary functions of government is to protect life and protect property. And by protecting the criminals, they are doing neither. And this is why crime is rising. This is why the homelessness problem in San Francisco, LA, Seattle, and on the West Coast, and soon to a city near you, because they are doing these things. The evidence is overwhelming. And as a matter of fact, on Tucker Carlson, he actually has a map. And what I need to do is I actually need to probably provide you this map, because he shows how Soros has funded prosecutorial changes and power grabs in the state of Oregon, California, Nevada, Arizona, Colorado, New Mexico, Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, and Florida and Georgia. Now, those states that I just named are all southern bordered states. In other words, these are the avenues of allowing things to happen coming up from the southern border. Now, there's some other states such as Virginia, Missouri, and Illinois, Pennsylvania, and New York that are a part of this as well. These are resting points for all of these illegal aliens and everything else to just be absorbed within the rest of the republic. This is why I have been telling you that the district attorneys of all of the red states need to stand up and actually sue these other state governors and legislatures, district attorneys, general attorneys, or all of these folks that are doing this in violating the Constitution, because the laws and their failure to actually prosecute these unconstitutional acts. It is unconstitutional for somebody to come here without going through our immigration process. The Constitution is the supreme law of the land, folks. And Congress has the constitutional responsibility and power of regulating and instilling a uniform immigration policy. And it is illegal still to this day until Congress actually says we have open borders, until they actually write the law that says, we have no immigration standards. We are completely open to receive everybody. And believe you me, they're very close. If they can get the Senate on board with this and the president, they don't have to amend the Constitution because it is an enumerated power. This should send shockwaves of fear down your spine in understanding just how dangerous this progressive movement is and what Soros is doing. This is also opening up the avenues of sex trafficking and all these other problems that are coming across, because it has been even noted the health, the tuberculosis, the hand and foot disease, and all these other diseases that are coming across this border. Not even to mention the known terrorists and people that are coming, not from Mexico, but people that are infiltrating Mexico from Africa and other places to get into America. And as a matter of fact, the Judicial Watch had a great expose on El Paso and how terrorists literally owned that town in bringing in all sorts of evil players. My friends, what is it going to take to get you to take a stand? There is really only one constitutional process, and that is for the states to stand up and demand compliance to their constitution. That process, as you know, is, that's right, folks, it's republic review. How many of you, as just changing the topic here, how many of you think that the U.S. is the primary source of polluting the world? I mean, we're the throwaway society, aren't we? All those plastic bottles, all that trash in the Pacific Ocean, that's from us, right? Well, despite Westerners being lectured by climate activists, this is another story by G. Edward Griffin. A study has found that 90% of plastic waste in the oceans comes from Asia and Africa. A study from Germany shows that the top 10 ranked rivers transported 88% to 95% of the global load into the sea, with 8 of the rivers located in Asia and the other 2 in Africa. The rivers with the highest plastic loads are the Yangtze River in China and the Ganges River in India. While Westerners are being told to alter their lifestyles and have fewer children to save the planet, virtually nothing is being said about the countries responsible for all of this havoc. Now, I am not an advocate for child control, population control. I believe that is also another agenda. G. Edward Griffin, he kind of ties those types of things together. But I believe that we have more than enough resources to actually take care of twice, three times the population that this earth can hold. If you understand, and I'll get into this little side note for you as soon as we get back to show you how much resources we are wasting. But first, these two promos. Thank you so much.
I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
Okay, so as we were going into the break, I started, I don't want to say lecturing or pontificating, but I started to go down this tangent on an aside regarding the waste of resources that we as the world are committing. Because bottom line, if you take all the agricultural land that is being used for things that have no value to sustaining life, let's just call the resources that we are using for recreational purposes only, right? So that means all the opium fields, or I should say the poppy fields for opium. Or let's talk about all of the grain that is being used for alcoholic beverages that you consume. Let's talk about all of the land, the rich, fertile land that is creating coffee or tobacco. If you look at the land that is being used for what we call entertainment or variety or whatever you want to qualify this land for, tobacco, I mean, that's not entertainment, or drugs, okay, maybe that is. But all of this land that we use in creating products for you to consume that doesn't help your health, it is not there to sustain you. We, as an enlightened society, moved away from alcohol, not in the 1900s, but in the early or the late 1800s, when we stopped drinking alcohol so much, because that's when refrigeration started actually coming to be, ice boxes and so, even though it wasn't proliferated to the level it was in the 19th century, the reason we got away from having to drink fermented juices or liquid was due to the fact that we could actually refrigerate juice, good healthy juices, and so forth. Alcohol, whiskey, that was a staple because that was the only way you could preserve those types of nutrients. For centuries, for millennia, that was the only way you could actually preserve those so that you could have the sustenance that was necessary from those beverages. It's the same thing with all these other recreational things. So the fact of the matter is, if we took away And we actually said, we want to become disciplined and we're not going to be consumed. Let's just say we reduce 50% of the intake of all of this land that is being used for recreation and of no good sustainment of life. We would be able to feed even more people in the world. And it's unfathomable of just how much, if you just look at America alone and you fly over it in August timeframe, late July to September timeframe, that is the perfect time to see all of our agricultural land not being used. And oh, by the way, how much of our corn is being used instead of growing consumable corn is being used for fuel? We have that much abundant land that we are actually wasting it by using it for fuel when we don't even have a shortage of fuel. The shortages of fuel, the concept of peak oil is not an 80s or a 70s or a 60s concept. Do the history. Peak oil was the first wave or the first thought or usage of the term peak oil. We're running out of oil. That concept of we only have so many resources, that began in the 20s, the 1920s. My friends, it's time that we start going back towards enlightenment. It is time, and the only way we can do that, the only way we can actually start moving down the path of enlightenment is getting government out of the way. As I like to tell my friends that are religiously inclined, Republic Review is not the cleansing of and the turning around of the moral nature of society. Republic Review is the process of getting government out of the way from obstructing churches and religion from actually being able to recover and restore the spirituality of America. Because it gets government out of dictating what churches can do and what they can't. It takes away even the necessity of churches being non-taxable entities with 501c3s and all of these things that they have no jurisdiction over. You want to be clear, the Constitution refrains any type of regulation over religion, period. That's what the whole purpose of the Bill of Rights. No establishment, no laws respecting the expression of religion. And then again, even in the 14th Amendment, the 14th Amendment did not take away the Establishment Clause for the states. This is why I tell you, if you do your research, you will find that the states actually have the constitutional ability to establish churches to help them do the compassionate services that they were supposed to be doing all of this time. Do you really want government and the people with guns, the ones administering food? Those are the ones, as I tell you, government is the most efficient killer in the world. The most efficient doomsdayer of the world. And so why would we want government to take control of our compassionate services, whether that be healthcare, education, any type of thing, welfare? All of those things should be administered by our religious leaderships and our community leaderships and organizations, period. And if you understand, if you have that epiphany, if you recognize what happens when the local community organizations, whether they be religious or non-secular, or I should say secular, which means non-religious, because what would happen? And the reality is, and this is what scares the godless people so much, is because they don't have compulsion over you anymore. They can't take from you and actually pay for their ability to have godless behavior and or irresponsible behavior. Let's call it that. Because now if a minister is coming into your home and determining whether you should have welfare or not, they see you're living a riotous life. They're going to say, you know what? You need to clean up your life if you want us to help you. That's what a good shepherd would do, because a good shepherd doesn't necessarily force and compel you to live a certain lifestyle, but you have to make your own choices. And it is immoral and wrong for anybody to go out and do something, whether it be getting pregnant or whether it be, you know, losing their job because they've got a drinking problem. Bottom line, you know, the prodigal child, you have to make those changes yourself and come to the realization that your lifestyle is destructive. But what happens when government takes away the consequences of sin? Then there's no reason for you to have to change your lifestyle. You're entitled to that. And ergo, the evil of the entitlement state. But folks, these are just a few of the things that we've wanted to touch on. There's plenty of other things, and I've got a lot more. That's why we're going to go into next week and doing even more of these these marketing things. But I want to say this. The other day I spoke about Mark Zuckerberg's paradox regarding how he's been promoting the leftist, and now the leftists are starting to create laws that are going to break up Facebook, Google, and so forth, because that's what Warren is championing as the socialist, you know, that she really is. Democrats are also creating a new paradox, and they're trying to create a new measure to encourage states to pass red flag laws authorizing the removal of guns and ammunition from individuals deemed as dangerous by anonymous, unaccountable persons. But it would not include the already existing limits on violent gang members. Republicans tried to add an amendment to include known gang members, but the Democrats will not permit it, despite the fact that gangs are causing most of the gun violence. The amendment failed. This is evidence that Congress, or I should say the Democrats in Congress, have no interest in reducing violence in America. They're just simply trying to disarm the law-abiding citizens. But the real paradox is this is clearly a constitutionally protected thing. It's not only the Second Amendment, but it's the 14th Amendment. And to be clear, as I've read this before, and I will tell you once again, that when you read the 14th Amendment, right there in Section 1, it actually tells you that no state shall pass, well, actually, I'm going to quote it right here. No state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of the citizens of the United States. And John Bingham of Ohio clearly stated during the debates of the 14th Amendment that these actually pertain to the Bill of Rights, that the individual privileges and immunities that are promised and protected under the Bill of Rights are now to be applied to the states. So the states can't even create a law that violates and or abridges or infringes upon your right to bear arms. And they're doing it. They're doing it. Cities are doing it. They're disarming. They're saying no guns. And they've been losing. And as a matter of fact, Scalia and Lash were the ones that actually exposed the individual privileges and immunities and were the ones that successfully argued this. It's interesting that Scalia is no longer around. But there are great academic articles that were written by Kurt Lash, the doctor that is talking about individual privileges and immunities. And I would recommend that you get those. They're in three parts, if I remember correctly. And you can actually see how these actual words in the 14th Amendment Section 1 pertain to protecting the Bill of Rights against the states in going after you and your constitutional rights. So anyway, we're going to be back tomorrow with even more marketing, and then we'll get into the cod fishery bounty sometime next week. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.